Welcome to Leadership Matters, a podcast hosted by me, Steve Parker. This is a series that brings a fresh perspective to leadership motivation and how to succeed by talking to a diverse range of CEOs, business managers, and world-class talent. We also offer some personal tips to help you in your career. Each episode aims to provide a snapshot into the life and philosophy of some of Taiwan and the world's most successful leaders, and to find out more about why leadership matters. You know, I'm just so happy to have Elias in the studio today. He's one of these people who is always doing something new, always doing something fresh. He's originally from Sweden, studied in the US and Japan, and immigrated to Taiwan back in early 2000, almost the same time I came here. In 2002, he co-founded a B2B marketing firm called Inspire, and that's when I first encountered him doing some amazing stuff, providing marketing services to thousands of the world's top companies like Oracle, Rakuten, eBay, and a whole bunch of startups as well. And I know that helping startups and entrepreneurs is one of your things, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. He's the author of a great book, which I have read many, many times, called How to Start a Business in Taiwan. And for the last 8 years, he's also been the organizer of the Dragon's Chamber, which is a pitch event for immigrant entrepreneurs. And I think it's the only one in Taiwan. Elias, apart from all this, you're an angel investor as well, and you've got over 10 or more companies that you're currently working with. My first question, how do you find the time for all of this?
I don't really separate work and life, I think. I think it just flows into itself. I think I'm also pretty good at concentrating at the task at hand, so I don't really necessarily always look ahead about worrying about what's going to come right next, stay in the moment maybe. That sounds silly. Because if I try to worry too much about what's coming tomorrow, then I can't really concentrate on what's going to happen today.
I love this idea of what you're talking about, this work-life balance, because I feel like a lot of people now search for work-life balance. This is a very key topic. I think they get it wrong.
I mean, I've also made some recalibrations in the last few years. If you go back 5 years ago, I was severely overweight and not healthy, and I recalibrated. So I went and I started running. I found myself a trainer that I've been working out with twice a week for nearly 5 years now, that exercise time is holy. So for nearly 3 years now, I've had the goal of running 22 kilometers every week.
Wow!
And then I do two times in the gym and whatever. So I've kind of had to recalibrate to add that in and make that the priority. And then I plan the rest of all my crazy schedule around that, and it's been working out quite well, I think.
How do you make that a part of your day?
Well, for example, it's in my schedule. Just having that appointment, right? So that when I show up, there is somebody expecting me. And if I wouldn't show up, there would be, hey, where are you? Right?
You said, I'm going to do 22 Ks a week. You haven't said, I'm going to do 2.5, 3, 7, whatever per day.
Mm-hmm.
You've given yourself a period of time. Where I think some people fail is in creating these unreal expectations that every single day at a certain time, I'm going to do something.
Right.
I like this idea of a kind of a flexible, open-ended promise.
Yeah.
Right? You're giving yourself a goal.
Yeah.
How you create, how you get to that goal is
right.
Up to you.
And that also means that, last week when I spent 2 days down in Kaohsiung at the trade show or whatever, so the exactly how much I do on which day has to change, right? Because life is such, work is such.
Was there an epiphany for you, a moment where you thought, I've got to kind of get my life back together?
So the part that was hard for me was I was the chairman of a animal care organization called PAC.
I remember that period.
Yeah, and that was it was really, really tough for many reasons, which we probably don't have time to talk about, but it was tough. You know, running an association is hard. You know this. I mean, it's a democracy. You have to get people to kind of walking in the right direction or whatever, and it was tough for me to get that going. And I found myself having what I thought was nearly like heart attacks at night. It turns out to be some kind of a panic attack. I went to the doctor, And they, you know, did the whole, you know, you're on the treadmill and testing, and he says, dude, your heart is fine. And a matter of fact, I can see that you used to exercise a lot in the past, and, you know, you're good. And I was able then to take, so to speak, that certificate of my health to say, okay, well, I can go out and start pushing this fat body.
Let's go back to Enspire, which, a great name, by the way. I love the name of the company. How did you find your niche? And then how did you go about kind of creating, you know, how did the process happen where Enspire came from? I mean, obviously it starts at nothing.
Yeah.
There's an idea.
Yeah.
You have to create something. And now it's a very, very successful company.
So we set that up. We bought, you know, well, we rented an office. We bought a phone system. We hired people, set it up. And then there were the crickets. Okay. We signed maybe 2, 3, 10, 20 friends to, but you know, in the U.S. or in the U.K., there were companies answering phone calls for tens of thousands of companies, and that did not happen. And we learned that, you know, at least back then, this is 22 years ago, Taiwanese bosses generally did not want to outsource. They want, you know, they were fine with hiring somebody, put them in a chair for them to answer 2 phone calls a day as long as they could see what was happening, right? So we had to pivot. And that was actually one of our customers who kind of told us that, well, you know, you're having people here sitting waiting for our customers to call, but we don't have enough customers, right? So could you actually help us to call and try to find us more customers? So, you know, we had this phone system. We had people who were comfortable on the phone. So we started with basically business-to-business telemarketing services.
You're a contractor, right? You contract out to companies. What if the product that they are asking you to, and I'm not going to ask you for names, right? But what if they're actually asking you to sell a product that you just don't think is the right product? I mean, you yourself had to pivot.
Yeah.
What if the company itself has some issues? Do you highlight those? How do you work with that?
So because our way of charging, okay, we charge a project fee, right? So, and that covers things like writing the script, finding the right database, training our people, all that stuff. But then we actually give a price based on some kind of success. Now, it could be just reaching the right person and talking to them about what our customers are doing. But more often, it's when we set the sales appointment on behalf of our customer, right? So we hand over to our customer a note that says that, you know, Stephen, over at Prestige House, you know, he has spoken to us about his needs, and this is why he needs your products or services, you know, his pain points, da-da-da. You know, he wants to meet you. Go get him, right? And so that means that he's, you know, you would now be a qualified lead that we are handing over to our customer, and we would charge for that.
How do you go about building? You say you've got people for 18 years. You know, leadership is what we talk about here. You know, this is clearly an example of, I think, good leadership, where you're bringing people with you for those number of years.
Yeah.
How do you go about building a great team like that?
So I
usually, you're laughing now.
Well, so I usually joke and say that the very first job I had in Taiwan, I worked for a guy who was a nice guy, but I have basically based my leadership on doing everything the opposite. For example, you know, he had a fantastic, huge office at the back of the office that we were in. You know, big chair, big oak table, that kind of stuff. But at about 5:30, 5:45 every day, he moved to a cubicle by the entrance, just to make sure that he would shame people who wanted to leave on time. So the number of hours that people are actually on the phone is not that much. And then our KPI is to have people on the phone for at least 50% of the time, the work hours. So at the end of the day, the, so to speak, time under tension, to use the, you know, to kind of the gym analogy, is not that much, right? So I don't really have a philosophy, but I mean, so I have a manager that I've been working with for a very long time, and he and I are, we're not close per se, but we are 100% aligned on, I say, the philosophy, if there is one, even if it's not stated. And that is that whole thing of don't be an asshole. Like if somebody wants to take time off, you know, unless it's an absolute emergency for job, of course you take time off. What are you talking about? What's the big deal, right?
And if people want to contact you or Inspire, what's the best way to contact you?
Just go to our website, inspire.com.
E-N-S-P-Y-R-E.com.
对. Yes.
All right. Elias, it's been a joy, as always, talking to you. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You can listen to this podcast live on the fourth Monday of every month on ICRT, and after that on the ICRT website, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Leadership Matters by Stephen Parker. You can also check out my social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We'll see you next time.